There are a couple of little mentions in Scripture. And one of my favorites is, lean not on your own understanding, which I suppose is another way of saying, don't stop learning. And because of the caustic nature, you know, we operate in the email realm here under what I call German rules, which is much the same way as their language is structured. You can say pretty much anything you like, but you must be polite. Otherwise, you're liable to get a reply that'll take the green off your teeth. Just, you know, just saying. But I had to respond to a caustic. I didn't have to, but I chose to respond to a rather caustic email with this. Putting your head in the sand will not save your backside. So, let's carry on through through the Saturday night into Sunday night and into Monday morning. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot it started on Friday, the trifecta John B. Zombie weekend with our guest tonight, Tom Horn and Terry Cook. And we have some more interesting questions to ask them, some of them from you, some of them from me. And I'm looking forward to their responses. So hang on. We're going to do this thing real quick. Be right back. This is Coast to Coast AM. You know, I enjoy getting emails like this. A fellow named John, a hyperspace physicist, said, John B., one day as 1,000 years is due to dimensional relativity. Einstein developed velocity relativity, but dimensional relativity is the relative time difference between hyperspace co-dimensions. Dimensional relativity is 200,000 to 1. Thus, 1 second in this dimension is 200,000 seconds in hyperspace. Time is dilated there, so there you go. It says the interesting thing is when coming back into dimension, Einstein's special relativity is observed where distances appear to be shortened by half. So there you go. I mean, it seems to me that the Holy Scriptures are filled with all kinds of stuff about quantum physics and quantum mechanics and time shifts and different perceptions within a person's consciousness. And, you know, this is sort of simplistic, but going back to the mule who could see the angel, but the guy couldn't. We were convinced that our dog, Frank, saw all kinds of things, dead people. He would look at you like, I just saw another one. And my dear old mother had passed away recently. And we would see these little flashes and shadows every once in a while. And we would usually see those things right after Frank looked at us like, she's in the room. So, I mean, I don't know. I just know that there is a vast universe out there, the huge majority of which we're not privileged to view, only in little glimpses.
You know, John, I never forget years ago, one of my absolute favorite tutors when I was a young preacher was a man by the name of Dr. Bob Cornwall. He was one of the smartest theologians that ever lived. And I remember him giving lectures on the original Adam and how that in the Hebrew text, there are parts of the language there that depict the original man as being something different than we are, able to see as God sees and speak as God speaks. And then he's something different after the fall. The Hebrew language actually changes in his description of him, and the implication from that being that man could see and speak into whatever dimensions existed before he fell, and those portions of the brain were closed off, you know, that we were talking about a minute ago. That might imply that he could see into what we call the spirit or angelic realm. We know that Adam and Eve could see God, and he walked with him openly. They saw Lucifer in the garden and spoke with him. But we also see how after the fall, their ability to see either of those openly was lost behind this dimensional veil, unless and when sometimes those beings that exist there choose to reveal themselves in some form to us. And even quantum physics, as we've been talking about tonight, suggests the strong possibility of parallel realities, multiple dimensions that are beyond the casual grasp of our current three-dimensional reality, or, you know, humans as they exist in this body of flesh. But the Bible is one of the ancient books, like you say, that is filled with things. If you just look at what it says, the quote you came back from the commercial talking about Einstein's E equals MC2, energy equals mass, the speed of light squared, the relativity of time and all of that, the Bible illustrates that God is not related to time in the way we are. We're moving through time, Einstein says, like a leaf floating, you know, in a creek. We're moving through time linearly. But look at everything it says about God. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's not captured by time like we are. He is as far back into the past as time has ever been, and he is as far forward into the future as time will ever be, all at the same time. By the way, that's why prophecy can be accurate. Because when he reveals something to a prophet, it's not because he's making it happen that way. He's already there. So he's not contained by time in the way we are. The Bible's fantastic in the way that it can describe that, but it also does describe those other dimensional beings that exist around us. They're called in the Hebrew the Elohim, the Yahweh, his son, the angels, demons, even the spirits of dead humans are universally referred to throughout the Bible. And even though after the sons of Adam could no longer casually see them, that doesn't mean that they're not there and that under some circumstances they interact with our three-dimensional reality. For instance, Peter, James, and John, they go with Jesus to what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. What happens? Moses and Elijah materialize, right? Dead guys. Spookier example of that in the Old Testament is 1 Samuel 28. Saul goes to the woman of Endor, and he makes contact with the spirit of Samuel. Now, some people say that it wasn't really the spirit of Samuel. It was a pretending spirit. It was a familiar spirit. And that might be true, but that's not what the Bible says. If you read it, the scripture says over and over, it was Samuel by repeatedly saying, and Samuel said, and Samuel said. So it might have been an exception to the rule for reasons we don't have time in this show to go into, but it takes us back to what these scientists and biotechnology and transhumanism, that research into the mind, the brain, could potentially lead into opening a portal. There's been a whole rash of stories lately where on one hand you have UFO researchers using psychedelic drugs in order to get in contact with what they think are extraterrestrial entities, men opening a part of the mind that is sealed off, something allowing them to see into what? A spirit realm, another dimensional world, the demonic world, the angelic world. And is that why the book of Revelation 21:8 condemned sorcery using the word pharmakia, one who uses drugs or potions, spells, and enchantments to change their brain chemistry that then allowed them to interact with the spirit realm, which, of course, in the Old Testament is something that was condemned by God. So there's all kinds of examples, but then it comes back to this research we did into biotech, because guess what? Biochips are the new pharmakia, DNA-altering, portal-opening viruses, bioweapons, biomedicine, in the form of programmed vaccines or identification chips that literally can initiate intercellular changes, not only in somatic body cells, but in germline cells, ova, sperm, where not only does it alter the recipient, it'll alter their descendants as well, which once again sounds very much like something that happened in the days of Noah.
You know, I have to say this, that, you know, on this program, we discuss many, many things, you know, the Bigfoot thing, and where you talk about the shadow people, and then we talk about the shadow government. I digress on with that one. As long as these demons and these entities that come and visit, as long as it's like, ooh, spooky, you know, then everybody's okay with it. But as soon as it crosses into the religious realm where it's like, no, you're not getting it. It's not, you're not necessarily receiving a phone call from somebody on one of our lines who is like crazy and imagining that that they're being visited by demons or they're being messed with by other worldly paranormal entities. The Bible is full of this stuff. And but as soon as it gets close to, oh, God or Christianity, it's like, oh, we want to talk about demons and spooks. We don't talk about God or anything. It's like, there's the dichotomy. And I have to read this email to you. A fellow named Steve, and thanks, Steve, for sending this. I don't think you'll mind if I read this. While I do not disagree with all of your guest views tonight, they seem to do what is so prevalent in society and media today, which is simply spread fear about all of these theories they have. The information is not only shocking and overwhelming, but it also leaves people feeling very helpless against this large global monster supposedly controlled by the devil it would be refreshing if they would offer real effective ideas and plans for some type of solutions to these evils and possibly suggestions as to what the rest of us could do to be truly helpful to enact change. Now, last night, do you know Dr. Jim Garrow? He was on last night. And he was talking about this. We were talking about this, these nuclear weapons that got loose. And several high-ranking military officers got fired over it. And they're not to be located right now. And that one of these things was designed to be an EMP and wound up being detonated off the South Carolina coast. Now, I wasn't there. I didn't see the detonation, but the seismic markings are there, and it appears that this is something that actually happened. And he said that this thing was timed to coincide with not only the GridX thing. I mean, I'm blending this together, but the GridX thing and also the solar pole flip, where north goes south and south goes north. This was all going to happen at the same time, he said. But interestingly, it appears to be divine intervention because only one of the poles flipped on the sun. So all of this is leading up to this question, which is, one could easily think that, well, there's no stopping this massive, demonic, devilish plan, New World Order, here it comes, just get ready, get your faith in order, because we're all going down, and those of us who are on the right side of things will be fine, the ones who are on the wrong side of things are lost. Or, possibly, will the divine entity, the Creator, the Almighty, God, intervene and put a monkey wrench into this machine of demonic origin?
Now, look, I don't want, I keep talking, and I know Terry is sitting there, and I don't want to dominate the conversation, so let me just very quickly say something about that. First of all, being educated is the number one thing you can do. Knowledge is power. Knowing what is coming, casting light on the darkness is the best way to push the darkness back. Secondly, being preachers of the gospel. Look at the disciples of the New Testament. Talk about guys who were outgunned, right? And yet they turned the world upside down. Never underestimate the power of preaching the gospel. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of God. It is the dunamain. It is the power of God unto salvation. And if America's Christian pulpits ever needed anything right now, it needs men that are anointed and powerful and preachers of the gospel. But having said that, John, my theology is a lot different than most dispensationalists. On the one hand, I am a dispensationalist. But on the other hand, it goes back to this God's relationship to time, in that, do I see signs in the world right now that lead me to believe we are in the end times? I do. But I also know that during Nazi Germany, there was a great deal of reason to believe that Hitler was the Antichrist. As a matter of fact, in many, many ways, he fulfilled the prophecies of that great destroyer of the Jewish people and of the Antichrist. And while he was an Antichrist, he wasn't the Antichrist. A great reaction happened. Righteousness rose up, put him down, and we got to take another lap, right? God's not related to time in the way we are. So what I would say right now is, if people can get educated, become preachers of the gospel, warn people, that's the best thing you can do. That's why, by the way, that this is stalled in Congress right now. It isn't just because they're inept. It isn't just because we don't have a representative form of government anymore, and these guys are basically a mafia that have so many people so deep in their back pockets they don't know how to function anymore or who they're supposed to try to make happen. All that may be true, but that's not really the point. The point is they were getting a reaction. They were getting a reaction. The public was saying, what? No, I don't think so. I'm not interested in that. And they went out on their blog sites. They went out on the internet. They're talking about it. They're calling their representatives, and they're saying, we are not interested in a national biometric mandatory identification system. So what Terry and I are doing is that. Make people aware of it. Make them react to it. And that pushes back the darkness and delays that day that you're talking about once again.
I love it. I really do. I mean, you know, I, the Lord, create the light and the darkness. I, the Lord, create good and evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. I'm thinking he kind of likes a good fight. It's like, get off your backsides and get with it. Come on, pick a side. Be either hot or cold, because if you're neither one, I'll spit you out of my mouth. I mean, that is what he said, isn't it?
Right.
Yes, exactly, John. And he means that, of course, that he wants, God wants us to be hot or cold for Jesus Christ, because that's the only name in the universe by which we can be saved. And it's his mercy is gracious, truly so. And I'm going to explain that in a moment, but let me just say this. For those of you who are balking at the thought of just humbling yourselves just ever so much in order to receive that free gift, Jesus said that, and Scripture tells us, that whoever simply calls on the Lord's name will be saved. I mean, truly, you know, not, you know, sincerely. Calls on the Lord's name. You know, just say, save me, Jesus. That's it. You'll be saved. That's how gracious and merciful our Lord is. On the other hand, if you choose to reject that by default, in the law, it's called act or omission. And I have a degree in criminal law and a degree in aviation science, a degree in real estate and business, almost a master's in MBA, almost. I never finished it. I have 2 2-year degrees, 4 teaching credentials, and on and on and on. None of that really matters. You know what really matters? I came to the knowledge of my Savior, Jesus Christ. And after 340 units of night school and certified degrees from, you know, approved schools, that's the only knowledge that's really important. Because Scripture says that in the end times specifically, that people will continue to educate themselves basically with nonsense and never coming to the truth of Jesus Christ, who is the truth. You see? And so I'm still getting emails from very nice-sounding people. A couple of them said we're humanists, and we don't need to spend any time on that. But, you know, I just responded to them. I say, I'll pray for you, and you sound like a nice person, but come to the realization that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, all of this stuff we're discussing is part and parcel of the end times deception we mentioned earlier. Now, folks, 2 Thessalonians 2 is something you should memorize. It's a very short chapter, because if you want to remain egotistical and arrogant with God, he isn't going to put up with it much longer. You see, he made us. So I don't know, John, when you were a young kid, were you kind of rebellious with your dad? I was, and he smacked me a few times, but he said, as long as you're in my house, son, we're going to do it my way, it's the highway. Well, see, every father and our Father in heaven has the right to say that. See, this is his house. He built it for us. We messed it all up by believing the snake in the Garden of Eden. We messed it up. It's our fault, and most of us are still deceived. Okay? So, but he's the Father. He's the Creator, and he has the right to say, listen, you're in my house, and let's do it my way or the highway. And there are only two highways. There's no middle road here, and we already discussed that earlier. So that's what it is. It's a satanic arrogance and pride that prevents us from seeing that Jesus Christ is truth and Jesus Christ is life and he's our Savior, because the rest of the world is literally going to hell, and very quickly now. And regarding our book, you know, Dr. Horn has 30 or 40 years, I'm not sure exactly how many years, of theological training and schooling and teaching. And I've been doing this not as extensively as he, but more focused on, you know, the Lord has used me as a former investigator to investigate Satan's New World Order and chip implants and RFID and that sort of stuff, you see. But Tom knows that as well as everything else. I mean, Tom should have at least 5 PhDs, and his cranium should be 5 times bigger to encompass the brain he's acquired after all of his learning and teaching. So I'm really humbled to be a co-author with him in this book, and I'm also humbled to be on the air with him, and he's such a fine man. And all we're trying to do is convey this message. Now, that book, John, this book, Beast Tech, should be at least 3 or 4 trillion pages long. But how can we get people to read it, write it quickly, succinctly and sincerely, and have people digest the reality of what's going on? Well, we're basically, as an attorney, as a prosecutor, presents a case in court against the devil, as it were. Okay.
Yeah.
And again, I have a degree from Cal State Fullerton.
We got to stop. Hang on, Terry and Tom. We'll be right back. It's a great pleasure to talk with Tom Horn and Terry Cook tonight. And I'll tell you, the emails are all over the place, but mostly just stuff like best show ever. And then some people are going, oh, wait a minute. I would point out to several listeners out there, the Almighty did not say there were no other gods. Number one commandment says, you will have no other gods before me. There are also mentions of other worlds out there and various mansions and so forth. So, you know, depending on, you should not read the book with preconceptions. If you leave yourself open and look into it, you'll find that there are valuable little nuggets for you, because it's all about choices. Our time here on this planet, our days are numbered as are the hairs on our heads. So it is known. So, do your research and make your choices. No one can make them for you. And that's the whole point. We'll be right back with our final segment with Tom Horn and Terry Cook on Coast to Coast AM. You know, fellas, I got a question that's been dogging me for years, and I haven't looked into it myself, so I think I'll take the easy way out and try this question out on you. And that is, the name Jesus. Now, I have to tell you something, and this is on the personal side, and I'll tell you, I've reached that point in my life where I really just don't care. It's not, you know, I don't have anything to hide. I am who I am, and that's it. Not everybody's going to like me. Okay, I figured that out in grade school. But, I understand. My dad had passed away, and he came to me in a dream. Now, I have heard many times over the years that if you see a person's mouth moving in the dream that you're having about them, that that's just a dream. But it says in Scripture, the dead don't speak. But so this visitation I had from my dad, I asked him, what is Jesus's name, really? I know it's not Jesus. What is it? And he moved his head sort of like he was emphatic about it. And I heard the name Yahshua. And I thought, all right. And about 6 weeks later, on this very program, I heard someone talking with George Norrie about it, and he said that name, and I had never heard it before, not in my life, never. And so I was just wondering, do you happen to know when he became known as Jesus rather than Yahshua? I've also heard Yeshua, mm-hmm. and Yeshua, but my dad told me Yahshua, so I'm going to roll with that.
Yeah. John, I know the answer, but Tom is a trained theologian with a doctor's degree and also an excellent communicator. I know the answer, but Tom will be much more eloquent than I in addressing that. Tom, tell him what's going on.
Well, Terry Cook, you could go ahead and do that, but it's really just the Greek, Jesus, the Hebrew, Yeshua, Savior, Son of God. So it's really just a matter of translation. The way that his name became known mostly to us, Jesus, is because during the time of Christ, that it's the society they lived in at that time, and it was the translation of the New Testament as we received it. So,
well, that was easier than I thought it was going to be.
Well, then remember when Moses went to the top of the mountain to get the Ten Commandments? John, you remember that story?
Yep.
We won't spend a lot of time on this because we're running out of time, but he too was confused about God's name. So he asked God, hey, what's your name, God? And the response was, if you may recall, I am. So, you know, there's a phony satanic movement on earth today called the Great I Am movement, and it's a satanic movement to mock God, who is the Great I Am. And then when the soldiers went to get Jesus, and they asked him if he were, in fact, you know, Jesus, the Messiah, and so forth, and he got the kiss of death from Judas. They asked him, are you Jesus Christ? And he said, I am. So bottom line is he's Yeshua and the things that Tom just explained, and he's the great I am. He's the only name in the universe by which we can be saved. And I hope that this is the last call. Now, I liken what we're doing today and what Tom has been doing for 40 years, and I've been doing for about 23, 24 years. This may be your last call. And God always has his people. I'm not going to use the word prophet. I'm certainly not a prophet, and I guarantee you I haven't profited much from this word. So I'm not a prophet, nor am I profiting from it, okay? But this could be your last call. Now, liken it to a train station, a train station where the conductor says, all aboard, All aboard. You see? Last call. This could be such a theological call, a Christian call to the Lord before the tribulation period begins. You know, the scripture says there'll be a terrible 7-year final period that will wrap up all history. Folks, memorize chapter 24 of Matthew. Chapter 24 of Matthew. I try to speak slowly because a lot of people, it's early in the morning, a lot of people are tired, and a lot of people don't grasp things if you say them once or twice or so. So Matthew 24 is the key scripture we're referring to tonight, not specifically regarding the mark of the beast, but of course it all dovetails together. But Jesus says, we won't know the exact day and hour of the end, but we'll know it's when it's very near, even at the door knocking. I hear theologians, you know, in my opinion, phony pastors, who quote that out of context, paraphrasing, saying, oh, we're not supposed to know when. Well, we're not supposed to know when the exact day and hour happens. Only God knows that. But we're supposed to know when it's near, even at the door. Jesus promises that in Matthew 24. He says, when you see all these signs that he's listed there, A through B, you know, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, when you see all those signs, know that it's near, even at the door. And when you see Jerusalem encompassed by armies, know that it's near, even at the door. So it's here, even at the door. This could be your last call. This book that Tom and I have written is very easy to digest. We don't use big words. And sometimes you have to use a big word to explain things like he's already done. But it's meant to be digested very easily. It's meant to present a case, as I started to explain in the last segment. It's as if we're attorneys for the Lord, and we're laying down a case with evidence, trying to make you believe the truth so that you'll be a juror and make a decision one way or the other in a court of law. You see? That's a good analogy, I think. But we're trying to win souls for the Lord, and that's the only thing that's really important to him. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whosoever might call on his name, whosoever might believe in him shall be saved. The rest of them are going to judgment. The rest of them are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And that's what's coming very soon.
And you know, the thing about it is people use expressions. They use words in their daily their daily language. And they are transmitting their thought really more through osmosis than an actual descriptive word. And I get the sense that when you hear the name Christ Jesus the Lord, lake of fire, these things, after a while people have just become numb to them, and they don't mean anything to them anymore. They just go, oh yeah, that stuff again. It's like and you know, I think organized religion, you know, people should know, first of all, that you can brush your teeth religiously. That does not mean you're praying while you do it. A religion is something that is a practice that is engaged in regularly. So if you say organized religion, well, that can be anything. But I mean like the churches in general. Now, there are many churches out there that do very, very good work, but it only takes a few. And we know, you know who I'm talking about. Some of these guys that come on and go, oh, I've sinned, I had an affair with 10 women, all that stuff, or whatever, you know it is. And they go, they must all be like that. And it's just not true. You're going to get people who are, you know, false prophets, false authorities, false everything, you know, false politicians. I mean, name it. Humans are flawed.
Well, John, you're absolutely right. In fact, Scripture warns us about that. It says there'll be an end times apostate church. In fact, Scripture calls it a harlot church, a phony church. Now, of course, in the Old Testament, a harlot was used to convey the modern-day term of whore. So Scripture says there'll be a last days whore church. Now, what does a harlot do for money? She sells herself. What does a harlot church do for money? It sells its theological self for money. And that's what's happening globally. Every negative thing that's happening today can be redirected right back to the prophecies of the end times, total deception, total lawlessness. Everybody's lying. You mentioned politicians. How do you tell when a politician's lying? Well, his mouth is moving. His lips are moving. Read my lips. No new taxes. Well, we got more taxes, didn't we? I get bushed thinking about it. But everything points to all the closing items coming down on us. Things are about to be wrapped up. You're at a train station on this program. We're giving you the last call. Jump aboard, because God isn't going to have his people out there warning people much longer. Things are going to wrap up very quickly, and you're either on the right side as a sheep or on the left side as a goat. There's nowhere in between. If you want to believe humanist philosophy, that's what it is, or if you want to believe any other so-called religion, then go ahead. But that isn't going to get you to the Lord. The Lord is Jesus Christ, and only name, the only name in the universe by which you can be saved. Come to Jesus Christ. Get on your knees. I got on my knees in a hotel room in Oklahoma City in 1983 in October. I was an agnostic. And look at me now. I know. Don't laugh at me, John.
No, I'm not laughing. And your faith is going to be tested. It's going to be tested severely. And if you let it go, then you're open for any, you're open to absolutely anything. If you turn your faith loose, if you just go, no, I just can't, go right up to the edge and you go, no, I can't do it. Well, you have made that decision. That's the whole thing. And by the way, a couple of people have sent emails saying, you know, you're so full of this, that, and the other, you know, unmentionable substances.
I'm reading them right now.
But here's the thing. Somebody, a couple of people said Adolf Hitler was a Christian. It's like, let me tell you something. The reason that Adolf Hitler said that he was doing his thing the way that he did it is because he blamed the Jews for the death of Christ because they were willing to release Barabbas and crucify Yahshua. But here's the other part. Aleister Crowley himself visited with Hitler. And Hitler, I know this. I've read this in numerous places. So as far as I'm concerned, this is the straight dope. And here it is. Aleister Crowley was asked by Hitler, are you of the dark? And Crowley said, let me put it to you this way, Adolf. If I were of the light, you wouldn't want to know me.
Well, that's the truth. In fact, John, you're absolutely correct. And I'm surprised you know that much about that creep you just mentioned, because he was a devout Satanist, one of the worst. And he's written a lot of publications, and I've read quite a few of them, and I know Tom has too. But Adolf Hitler actually wrote a book called My New World Order. I have a rare copy of it that was printed in Australia in 1942.
So do I.
And I cited it in my original book I wrote in 1994, The Mark of the New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
So Hitler was a devout Satanist, but he called himself a Nazi, and he also said it was National Socialism. The communists didn't call themselves Nazi. They just said we were socialists and Leninists. Karl Marx was a Satanist. Bottom line is, communism is Satanism. Nazism is Satanism. Many other isms are Satanism. So they're really Satanism in disguise with political labels. And that's what the New World Order is. It's global feudalism, communism, fascism, Nazism. It's all the isms ever created by Satan since the Garden of Eden combined into one final seven-year period called the New World Order, a paradigm shift from God's old world order of some degree of stability, okay, into the satanic new world order of total chaos. Everything goes upside down. Murder, death, destruction, radiation from Japan, the oceans turn to blood. This is the final call, ladies and gentlemen. It is not a joke, and you can't humanist your way out of this thing. God is going to send you into the fire, and your only out is Jesus Christ. That's it.
I got one for you here. This is from the New York Times. Protesters in Kiev topple Lenin statue as rallies grow. At the height of the unrest on Sunday night, a seething crowd toppled and smashed a statue of Lenin, the most prominent monument to the communist leader in Kiev. The act was heavy with symbolism, underscoring the protesters' rage at Russia over its role in the events that first prompted the protest. Mr. Yanukovych's abrupt refusal to sign sweeping political and free trade agreements with the European Union. So, this was not religious-based. This was about the Benjamins again.
Well, I've never met a man like Tom who's more interested in evangelizing and bringing souls to the Lord, because that's what the Lord has told us to do. One of the things that Matthew 24 tells us, John, is that Jesus said, all these things will happen, A to Z. And then he says, and the gospel of me, and the gospel of Christ shall be preached to all the world for a witness, and then it's over. Then the end shall come. That's where we are right now. Okay?
Okay.
So that's the, now, this offer of the book, we're not in this for money. We're here to educate. Tom doesn't have to work. He's comfortable. He's retired. I'm retired and somewhat comfortable. I don't really have to work. We're here for the Lord's message. We're here to give it to you. So we have a great offer. We're barely, I think Tom's barely breaking even on this.
No,
Tom,
not,
would you explain what
actually,
this offer is?
Actually, I'm not even breaking even. If people go to beast-technology.com, they'll see there's something like $100 worth of books and CDs and DVDs that we're giving away for holiday gifts. People can give them as Christmas gifts or whatever they want to do, or keep them for themselves. We're doing that to encourage people to buy the book Beast Tech. I mean, I'm actually losing money. It's kind of like that old TV show, Win Ben Stein's Money, right? I'm doing it because I really believe people need to know. I mean, we were talking earlier, I know we're getting ready to run out of time here, we were talking earlier about how choices matter, education is power. People that are educated can stand up like those people there in Russia toppling the statues. They can make a difference. When people rise up, they're going to outnumber the government. They can make a difference. And folks, a national biometric system is coming if people don't cast light on it, make a difference, be a resistance. It's going to be here sooner than most people imagine, and that's why we're doing what we're doing over there. So I encourage you, go over there. Go to RaidersNewsUpdate.com or go to Beast-Technology.com and take my money away from me. This is what I'm doing it because I believe in it. It's important. And I hope people do, once they understand what's happening, how before Congress right now, professors are arguing for the U.S. Congress that the majority, they're saying, of Americans are ready for and want a national ID based on head and hand biometrics. Did you know that's being argued before the U.S. government right now? Who are these people? They certainly don't represent me, and I doubt they represent you. So get educated and respond to it in whatever way you can. I hope people teach that in Sunday school this coming
kind of How do we get your book? The usual places, or do we have to go to your site?
Actually, Amazon sold out, and so if you go over there right now, it's just going to say they don't even have it. The best place, and plus they're not going to give you $100 worth of Tom's DVDs and books and audio sets and all that stuff. So just there's a whole summary over there of the stuff that's being given away. It's only going to be for 1 week because I can't afford to do it forever. But for 1 week, go to RaidersNewsUpdate.com. They'll see the link they can click on, or go to beast-technology.com. Hey, John, thanks for having us on your program tonight, brother.
Thank you. Thank you very much for coming on the program. I have a feeling you reached more people than you think.
John, it's a pleasure, sir. Thank you, and you're cleared for departure, and no holding patterns in sight, certainly no teardrop entries, and I hereby clear you to at least 37,000 feet, flight level 370.
I'm on my way. All right. Thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate you. We'll be talking again soon, all right?
Bye.
Well, there you have it. I'll just reiterate, repeat, or otherwise regurgitate something I said earlier. Head in the sand will not save your backside. So remember it. Talk to you next weekend. And as I said last night, if suddenly I drop off the scope, go to caravantomidnight.com. You'll find me. Until next Saturday night and beyond, good night and be well.